Just want to continue to enjoy the Lord's presence, believe that he wants to speak to us through his word, through his servants. And this is one of his servants who God's been using to speak into my life over went for years now. It felt like months to begin with, but then the months grow into years, and now a couple of years where we've been journeying with John Bullock, the pastor of a fantastic church in Porth in the Rhondda Valley there in Wales. And God's just, I think, brought John into our lives as a church and into the partnerships we have in Wales, really not only so we can bless him, but so he can bless us. And it's been a joy to be challenged by this man of faith, a man who God took to East Africa, strengthened his faith from time out there as well, so we've got a bit of a connection there. Yeah. But leads not only a church, but helped birth really an amazing ministry called Sporting Marvels, which there's some booklets about, some news sort of magazines as you leave. Please do take one. So inspiring to read of what God's doing there in the Rhondda. And, you know, I'd love to pray for you, John, and then I'm going to hand over to you to just bring God's work. But let me now just pause, pray for John, and I'll hand over to him. Amen. Father, we thank you for John. We thank you for his faith, his walk with you. Thank you for the things you were speaking to myself and other leaders even yesterday through this man. And, Lord, we pray again, fresh filling of your spirit, fresh anointing, Lord. You'd be used of you to be, Lord, your mouthpiece to us this morning. Lord, thank you for his willingness just to be open to preaching on Acts 20, and even as he prepared it, Lord, I thank you that you gave him a fresh word just for us this morning, Lord, that you've just put on his heart. And so, Lord, I just want to pray as we're attentive, Lord, just as we pause from Acts for this morning, and Lord, just say, Lord, what do you want to say to us through John? God, give us ears to hear. And Lord, I want to say, please speak to me, speak to us, Lord. And as you bless John, as you use him today, Lord, please keep using him in Wales, in the Rhondda, beyond the Rhondda, to be a channel through which you are able to bring the good news and the love of Jesus Christ to many hundreds of thousands. For we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks, John.
Amen. Thank you very much. Thanks for your warm welcome, David. Great to be here. Really is great to be here, and count it an honor and a privilege to be in your pulpit this morning and to have played a part yesterday in what was a great day. I learned a lot too, and it's great to... I don't travel that often because I'm very busy in what I do there in the Rhondda Valley, but I love to get out, meet new people, pick up things. It's amazing what you learn as you journey as well, isn't it? So great to be with you, really is. I want to get straight into the Word of God here, and I'm reading from Ephesians 4, verse 17. I'll begin straight away, turn into it, you can hear it as you turn in. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continued lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by your deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self. Listen. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. I'm going to give a popular line as I start. Are you ready for this? If you really want to live, you have to die. It's a popular start, isn't it? Sunday morning. David mentioned greed there, and you know, as he said it, and he said, put your hand up. And taking a look at me, you probably could tell I'm at least a little bit greedy. every time I'm in a gym or on a running machine and you see after so long you've only burnt 230 calories, half a Mars bar, and you think it would be much easier if I had a bit more self-control. That's what I feel. You see, greed is on a line in Scripture that says, if you continue in lust, impurity, sexual immorality, and greed, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I don't believe that means salvation. I believe you won't become what you could otherwise become. So it's a serious thing. And, you know, greed's kind of tagged on. We don't see greed in the same light as the other stuff, do we? Romans 7, 24, 25 says this. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want to try and get you to see something today that you may not have seen. You may have, of course. I don't know that many of you here. And you may have seen this for yourself, but I'm seeing it, and it's helping me no end. And it's this, that death is a condition that we live in, not an event that terminates our lives. In the biblical context, death is the outworking and enforcer of evil. Paul says, who will rescue me from this body of death? He's alive at the time, but he's in a body of death. He's actually a Christian at the time. If it is Paul, and it's believed that it is, of course, he's speaking about there. You see, the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and life abundantly. Most of us know that scripture because it's an attractive one, isn't it? Anything that offers abundant life is pretty attractive. John 10:10. I'm asking myself the question, what is the law of sin and death? And I didn't quite understand it. I'm still on a journey to understand it, you know, and what I'm about to preach to you, David will unpack further in time, I'm sure. But I didn't myself understand this until I realized the relationship between sin and death. Sin gives birth to death. Gives birth. It is a law, which means it always works the same way. In the same way that gravity pulls down, etc., aerodynamics gives lift, sin always births death. It gives birth to death. A process of a condition of death. Says in James that desire gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully formed, it gives birth to death. I was saying to our own congregation, if I were to inject heroin for the first time and come out of my office into the pulpit and I stood glowing and looked very happy, people may not realize that potentially I'd just given birth to death. You understand what I'm saying? You see, it has a life before death comes. Giving birth to something means it has a life. Before you became a Christian, you could do nothing about this. The privilege of being a Christian is, once you are a Christian, you can definitely do something about this condition. By choosing to walk in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. I haven't time to go into my testimony today. Suffice to say, when I was 15, I signed on for the Royal Navy. When I was 16 and 1 month, I was in the Royal Navy. Before I was 17, I travelled around the Middle East and the Med in the Royal Navy on a destroyer. I was a seasoned sinner. Even before I got in there, I was a seasoned sinner. By then, I was professional. And I was still a boy. You see, it's in the end. Not instantly, but in the end, it leads to death. So I began to adopt habits at that stage of my life. Had Christ not intervened at 25, when I was 25, I assure you, I wouldn't be the one in the pulpit this morning. By the grace of God, I am. You see, I was in a condition of death. And by now, I'm 53 now, so by now it probably would have killed me without going into some of the stuff I was in. Tragedy is, if you cross over from death to life, and death still has a grip on your life, therein lies the tragedy as far as I can see it. Very truly, I tell you, John said in John 5:24, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life, hallelujah, and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Now, at the beginning, I teased you a little bit by saying a really good line here, you know, if you really want to live, you've got to die. But when you realize that in dying, you actually get energized for living, it's a bit easier to die. It's a bit easier to put off in order to put on. As a Christian, you no longer need to live in the condition of death, but I assure you, you still can. Many do. Has crossed over is past tense. Once we cross over, we are not meant to go back, but we can choose to. To cross over means you're on the other side. You move from death to life. You have a choice then what you do with that life. For me, let me tell you how I absolutely prostrated myself into service for God. I was already saved, loved the Lord, felt a call into ministry, was in Bible college, I was in the library. Having served with the Royal Marine Unit in Northern Ireland in the 70s, I understood what it was like to be a young man in that conflict. And I was in the library in our Bible college, and I was just relaxing, reading a newspaper, actually. And the full front of the newspaper covered the story of two soldiers who turned into a funeral by mistake. They were undercover in civilian clothes. Each of them had a 9mm pistol. I'd done exactly the same kind of thing myself. Tucked in there, 15 rounds, so they had 30 rounds. The mob got to them, realized they were suspicious, in a frenzy. They began to gather around the car so they couldn't move the car. They withdrew their pistols, knowing that if they shot somebody, they could kill people, but eventually there'd be no mercy shown. So they went for the mercy route, firing their pistols into the air. Made no difference. They were dragged out of the car. They were beaten. They were tortured. They were stripped naked. And finally, they were murdered and dumped in the street. Front page of one of the newspapers that day had a picture of one of these boys lying there in his underpants. And it said this, "This is somebody's son." I broke. I leant forward and I said, "I give you my life. I've given it already, but now I give you it. Where you want me to go, I'll go." That's how I ended up in Wales. I'd never been over the border into Wales. Never dreamed I'd be a missionary working in refugee camps, etc., famine relief at times in Africa. Never realized it. I had no qualifications for that life. But you see, once you've crossed over, it's up to you. If you become a disciple having crossed over, rather than just a believer, God will energize the new life in him. Because we're created to be like God internally. So just as death is a condition that we live in, so is life. John 8:52 says, "At this they exclaimed, 'Now we know that you are demon-possessed,'" speaking of Jesus. "Abraham died and so did the prophets, yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. I've puzzled over that for years. Because as Tim said earlier, his grandmother is a believer, chose her hymns, wonderful story, before she died. Yet she died. So he can't possibly mean dying here. He means death. Whoever obeys your word will never taste death. What does he mean by death? Whoever. Three times in 1 Corinthians 15, death for the believer is referred to as falling asleep. I like that. 1 Corinthians 15, 18. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Speaking if there was no resurrection context. 1 Corinthians 15, 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So the dead in Christ are not called dead, they're called sleepers. They've fallen asleep. Hallelujah. You see, you've crossed over from death to life. Not crossed over for the rest of your earthly life, you've crossed over into eternal life. Because the Spirit of God indwells you. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. Speaking of the rapture. But we will all be changed. So Jesus is coming back before some believers have died. What we would normally term died. But he terms it fallen asleep. Because you've crossed over from death. Do you see? Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? We've crossed over and we still breathe, having crossed over, but we have crossed over. For if, Romans 5:17, for if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life? Through the one man, Jesus Christ. Through one man came death. And through one man, the second Adam, came the ability to reign in life. Believers, we can reign in life. You are either under the reign of death or you're in the reign of life. The non-believer cannot reign in life because he is under the reign of death. He can't do it, but you can. So what a tragedy if we become believers and then we don't. You see, I was talking yesterday and I've talked privately many times because on meditating on the Great Commission, I think that there's a chance that we can generally miss something. Going to all the world, of course, baptizing, etc. But the last part of it says this, making disciples and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. So having crossed from death to life, we have to take serious commands. As we apply those commands, which are based on love, we will get energized to come to a position that we are so strong in Christ that we begin to reign in life and advance his kingdom. I was thinking, you know, being in this great church, I know Spurgeon probably stood here. I don't know if this pulpit was here, but Spurgeon was here, the great preacher Spurgeon. Etc. But I was thinking to myself, I realized it was never the man. It was God in the man. That's how it is. That's how it's a fair playing field. Whether you're brought up in an Islamic country or you're brought up as I was in a non-Christian family, once you've crossed over, your potential is now his potential in you. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my environment conditioned me to live at a very low level. I literally left school with no qualifications. And I subsequently found I'm actually quite bright. You might not think that, but I am. But my environment conditioned me. I was in a village in Yorkshire, 5 boys in our family, mum and dad struggling just to, you know, get us through life. Education was not a big thing in my family, and I lived accordingly. Sadly, I'm an educationalist today. You see, death is a condition that we live in not an event that terminates our lives. In the biblical context, death is the outworking and enforcer of evil. Your potential is to reign in life. Your behavior plants seeds of death or seeds of life. Something you do today, if not redeemed, and it can all be redeemed, thank God. If not, I think the line I led earlier that starts with lust and ends in greed, if we were knocked out because of that, I think a few of us would have to leave, including the preacher today. But redemption is ours in Christ. It's a good story. Redemption was the prodigal son's gift, wasn't it? But I tell you this, what I'm learning is, though God's grace will fill your life, consequence will not leave at the point of grace. David had to wander in sackcloth and ashes. Have you ever wondered why? Because if you wore sackcloth and ashes because of sin, you'd be reluctant to do that sin again. Because people would know. They'd say, look at him, he's done something serious. Why is he dressed like that? Consequence. Now, this is a message of redemption, so don't go down. I'm trying to say, bring victory into your defeat. Because there's a route that can get you into victory, no matter where you've been in life. If you've made choices that are leading to death, then by the grace of God, you can be redeemed from them. A simple thing is this. I'm an ex-smoker. There may be some of you here are smokers, so I'm not attacking smokers. But hey, if you want to persist in smoking for a lifetime, you're probably waving goodbye to 10 years of your life. It's a consequence. Romans 6:10 says, the death he died, Jesus, he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness, brought from death to life. The limitations of the death process to the immense possibilities of the life process you have crossed over. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. It can't master you unless you let it. Hear me, church. Whatever you may be trapped in today, the good news is it cannot master you unless you let it. Because if you've crossed over, it's no longer your master. By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are either slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. It's not the end result. It's where it begins that we're talking about. Let me say to this adult audience, and I'm not going to take it any further except throw a warning shot across the bows, particularly of the men here. Pornography is bleeding God's church of good men. Decide today you're going to go on a journey to get it out of your life. If it's in your life, it will lead to death in some form. Listen to me now. Death, you have to understand that death may manifest with this tentacle while it lives. The end result is die. But while death lives in you, it can result in lack, in relationship breakdown, in disease, in ill health, in nothing that you turn your hands to being a success. That's the power of death. And at the cross, Jesus Christ broke its power. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Truth is, by God's standards, having crossed over, we still have committed lots of sin. Good news is, you don't get condemned by God if you've crossed over, but you do get enslaved by the devil, despite the fact that you were not condemned. Too many Christians just have a limiting life. Because of death, they are not truly living life. Life in this context means the fullness of life, abundant life, the potential of reigning in life, the potential of reigning to the degree as happened in Evan Roberts' life, where he simply prostrated himself behind the pulpit until the life of God oozed out of him and people in that auditorium began to cry out to be saved. The great revivalist in Northampton, Massachusetts, Jonathan Edwards, had the same experience. Charles Finney had the same experience. You see, if you want to live, you've got to die and let him live. Because it's the one who was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration that is actually dwelling in us. That kind of life that was revealed on earth in that way that day is actually in us. You see, death doesn't initially kill you. You can be under its influence for many years before you die. It does, however, limit your ability to live. You can be sick when you don't need to be, etc. I've said that. In order to reign in life, you have to understand the full biblical meaning of death. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. When I was 25 years of age, I used to say, I'd be stood in a bar, and I'd say, this is pre-converted, I'd say to my mates, I've done practically everything there is to do on this earth. I'd traveled the world, I'd had experience people only dreamed of, good ones, bad ones, I'd been a successful sports person. I was empty. I was empty. You see, those things result in death. You cannot buy peace of mind. You cannot buy a good marriage. You cannot buy kids who will go on with the Lord. You have to do it through life. But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those things result in death. The sins you commit after you've been saved are covered by grace, but they are not without serious consequence. Before they led to death, you could do nothing about it. Now they still result in death, in so much as it limits life, but you can do something about it. What limits can be placed on the person who allows the life of God to continuously grow in them? What limits are there? It's not about our ability. I fully believe in training and in maximizing the skills that God's given us, but it's not that at the end of the day. It's how much will you die so that he lives? You see, sin leads to death. Faith leads to energized life. It's a force that nothing else on this planet can manufacture. It's the revelation of God into the heart of man that says, go ahead and do this, and I am with you. And so it will get done against all the odds, even if it's never been done before. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. Now, fruit is excess life. God put life into a rod one day. It was Aaron's rod. There were 12 rods there, and it was a test. And God put life in it, and it budded. It ended up in the Ark of the Covenant because it was supernatural. The life in it caused it to bud, and almonds grew on that stick. Almonds. You see, when God puts his life in you and me, if we will let that life live, we will bear fruit. Lasting fruit. It's God's desire because it's excess of life. You know, an evangelist went into a garage one day, and the attendants there helping him, he was in Africa, and being served, filling him up, and the guy looked at him, and he looked into his eyes, and he said, you have the strangest of eyes. He said, well, you see, God lives in here. And sometimes he comes to have a look out through the windows. It's fruit. It's fruit not just when we're in this building. It's fruit when we're in the workplace, when we walk into a cafe. It's fruit when your presence takes the presence of Jesus into the darkest of places, if you can handle the darkest of places in the name of Jesus. It's choosing this literally instead of that. And I wish I'd have known this when I was a young Christian, because the psychological problems I had, I'm trying to save some from now. Because it's not without cost, believe you me. Because I loved God, loved people, but was carrying all this baggage. And I'd slip into some of the stuff that was in those bags at times because I couldn't seem to get free of it. And it would torment me. And I'm trying to say, if you're in that place, today, choose life. If you're in Christ, choose life by making the right choices instead of the wrong ones. Because death will still grip you in its condition. You might not die, but you'll be in death. Just a couple of minutes before I come to a close here. Let me move forward quickly. If you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. Please understand that grace will always be there, but grace, private grace, does not eliminate public consequence. You may be talking to somebody and saying, I can't seem to get well, I can't seem to make it, can't seem to break through. They'll never know why you're in that condition, but I want to say from my heart to you to help you, there's a reason. Usually there's a reason. And sometimes, you know, the sovereignty of God, we can't answer, but the general answer is there's a reason. God's aim is this, and I want to live in it. I want to live in it for my ministry at local church level, for my ministry at community transformation level, for our ministry in East Africa, which I will never have the resources to do all I want to do in Tanzania and East Africa in general. So I've got to go to the one and say, keep giving me your life, Lord, more of your life. All you need to do is go to an area where there's no health service and see how important you feel when people are dying. And you're their only chance of living. So for me, I'm going to discipline this flesh increasingly. I'm going to take note of greed, Dave. Seriously. I'm trying already, actually. God was already speaking to me. Well done for speaking on that. In Western society, it's a brave preacher that preaches on greed. We're not slim, are we? Generally. You see, I've had a glimpse of what can be. And I want to maximize what will be by responding to what can be. And not being loose in the daily choices I make to attract either death or life. Try and see it like this. I'm introducing a thought to you because I know God wants to help some people, at least. Start seeing that death is a power that imposes a condition, not just an event. And this power causes fear and every other limiting factor in your life. A little story to end before I pray and hand back. I was a person living 5,000 miles away from my home and had developed an incredible fear of flying. I'd flown many, many times before this event that allowed fear in. I was on a KLM flight going to Tanzania. And twice it didn't take off because of mechanical problems. After the second time, I was thinking, do I really want to go up in this? Third time, we taxied to the runway. And the captain came on again. This is a few hours later now. We hadn't got off, and, you know, you sat like that. And he said, "I'm really sorry, we're going to have to go back again. Somebody wants to get off." I thought, I want to join them. I went up in it, and it was like being at sea again, the old flight. You know, you hit turbulence. It was like, how are we staying up in this? Fear entered my life. I'd never been really fearful of flying. I'd had my own moment. I've flown in military aircraft as well. But now I'm living, and we didn't come back to Britain for 2 years as a family now. But part of my job, my area was Tanzania, Kenya, Rwanda, Uganda, Burundi refugee camps because of the troubles there at the time. It was 10 times bigger than Britain, my area that I covered. 300 churches, 10 times bigger than Britain. Most of the time I drove. I drove through all countries to get where I was going. Refugee camps, I'd have to go, you know, there's bandit activity. You'd have to say, "Lord, show us the way that's safe to get there." But sometimes I had to fly. And this is 1998. Air Tanzania did not have a good reputation. You'd hear people say, "Suicidal to go up in that." And I once left Rwanda, and I joke about it now. It wasn't quite like this, but the pilot was in front of you, packed with people, and it was like the chickens were on there as well, you know, and everybody's bags just everywhere, and just old propellers that didn't seem to be going fast enough. And I'm on there with the fear of flying. It was dread. Let me tell you, I'll be flying in 2 weeks' time. I won't have a fear of flying. In fact, I got rid of it so much that I had a flying lesson. And on that flying lesson, this is absolutely true, both my wife and my mother-in-law came on my first ever flying lesson. Incredible. You see, I was redeemed from it. That could have been a curse that kept me on the ground, that stopped me being what I am, what I want to be, what I want to do. Have you anything today that's attacking you in such a way? I humbly say to you, if you were restricted in any way through fears or whatever, have a look at the reason and believe God for redemption. You may have to make some serious choices so that you can energize your life by adding life rather than making choices that attract death. Let's pray together. Would you stand with me, please? May I ask you, dear fantastic people, it was great to worship with you this morning. I really, really enjoyed that. I'm not just being polite. I really enjoyed the gentle presence of God that we enjoyed earlier. God's here. Didn't need to tell you, know that. But he's here because he loves us. He has a purpose for us. He wants us to go way beyond the boundaries that we may think are there. And I have a simple thing, because time's gone, so I haven't time to take this any further, but I hope it will stir thought for the future, that God is saying he wants to redeem us from the curse. He wants to redeem us from limiting life because of the power of death that's at work. And he wants us to come to a place where we can genuinely say, "You know, I'm beginning to reign in life." May I ask you from my heart, as I address this myself, simple thing, to come before him this morning and to say again, "Jesus, I don't just want to believe in you. I want your lordship in my life. Will you begin a process that establishes that?" Would you take a moment to, as you did earlier, to perhaps just pray that in your own heart? I'm going to pray and then straight back over then to Tim. But take a moment. Please be serious into the things. You know your life. You know how it may be being limited. Be honest. Don't put up with it. Father, I thank you for, in the time of worship, the things that were going on in my life. And I stand before my friends here and the congregation here and say, Lord, I want you to establish more of your lordship in my life. I realize that comes down to the choices I make on a daily basis, because I want to choose life. I want to believe that as I make the right choices, you will increasingly energize life in me that will drown out any death in me, that this will affect my body, soul, and spirit into my contribution and my effectiveness for the kingdom of God. I pray for the leadership here, many of them who've become friends, Father. I thank you so much for that. For the great congregation here, the great expectation here, the wonderful people who we mixed with yesterday. I pray from the bottom of my heart, Lord, not because I know anything, I don't, but just generally that you would flow into our hearts and establish lordship at a deeper level or for a first time. And if there's anybody who hasn't crossed from death to life, may that happen today. We look to you, Lord. We look to you because we are a generation who will rise and prove life at extended levels from what we've walked in so far, that you might be glorified through a mature people who truly know what it is to reign in life. In Jesus' name, amen.